Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Merry Christmas. You know, it's finally here, that night filled with awe as we welcome once again the coming of God among us as Christ Emmanuel, inviting us to know God and to love God and to serve God. So whether you're here in person or online, because this service is also being sent out as a live stream, whether you're with us here or online, this is the service that will stir your heart and remind you to turn off your phone. That was my 7 o'clock medicine. If you're new here, we are glad you came. We have a gift for you. And it includes some wonderful handmade items made by members of our congregation. So you can stop at the Welcome Center on your way out or just talk to me and we will give you one of those lovely gifts. There are some really large cards inside your bulletin. Did you all find one of those? We call these connection cards, and we call them that because on the back, there are lists of all kinds of wonderful things to do here in this congregation, things you can get involved in, places where you can make friends. So we would love to have you fill this out and tell us which service you're at. And I'll be looking at those, and so will others who are leading different events, different ministries, and we'll reach out to you and help you get connected with us. So we would love to have you do that if you'd like. Also, if tonight you came into this worship service carrying something on your heart, something heavy that sometimes happens this time of year, know that we want to pray with you. And so there are prayer cards right in the pew back in front of you. You can take and fill one out, and you can put the prayer card and the big connection card, put those in the offering plates. And we'll take care of them. We have a prayer team. And if you need prayers tonight, you can catch one of the pastors, and we will stop and pray with you tonight. Our worship leadership tonight includes our clergy team. We have Reverend Lindsay Hall, Reverend John Reynolds, who are our co-pastors, Reverend Loretta Job, who's a deacon who serves among us, and me, Reverend Lynn Hazley, your associate pastor. You've already heard some of our musicians. Haven't they been wonderful? Yes, they have. You've heard, the strings and the adult choir and handbells. So it's going to be a wonderful, beautiful evening. They're all under the direction of Susan Kimball, and we are so grateful that all of you are going to be singing with us, so that we together can experience this Christmas evening. I do want to remind everyone that next Sunday is an unusual Sunday. The Sunday after Christmas, we try to let the staff rest a little bit. So there's only going to be one worship service for both campuses. It's going to be here at 10 o'clock. So please remember that and come at 10 o'clock for a service that's going to be carols and storytelling, and there's going to be a meal afterwards. You don't have to bring anything. You just have to come hungry. And then we want to take a moment to say that come back in January, because beginning January 4th, we're starting a new worship series, and it is all about it's all about what we need to be thinking about in this very challenging time and how we can imagine a pathway to hope. It's called Love Boldly, Serve Joyfully, and Lead Courageously. So come back January 4th and be with us throughout that service. And now we'll remain seated as we welcome the procession of light, followed by the lighting of the Advent wreath by the Buck family.
When blossoms float amid the snows upon a wind, Tonight, we light the Christ candle, the center of our wreath and the center of our faith. All Advent long, we have prepared the way with hope, prayed for peace, practiced mercy with joy, and opened our hearts with love. Now, on this holy night, we celebrate the one who embodies all of these gifts. Christ comes to us not in power or splendor, but in vulnerability and grace. He's a light who cannot be overcome, the Word made flesh, and the Savior who dwells among us.
As we light the Christ candle, we rejoice that God has come near, shining into every shadow, offering grace to every heart, and sending us forth to carry his light into the world.
Please join me in prayer. Holy God, on this night filled with wonder, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, your light in our darkness, your hope for our despair, your peace in our unrest, your joy in our longing, your love made visible. As the Christ candle burns brightly, kindle in us a light that cannot be hidden. Send us out as bearers of Christ's presence, to shine with your compassion, to serve with your mercy, and to live as people transformed by your grace. Lord Jesus, dwell with us and within us. Amen.
Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke, beginning in the second chapter. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, and the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
And now a reading from the Gospel of John. I invite you to hear these words. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing that was made was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen.
I hear an angel choir in the heavens. Ain't that good news? I hear the angel choir in the heavens. Ain't that good news? Saying that a Savior is born, and this will be manger. Ain't that good news?
Go and tell the good news.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is
good. Good news, tell the good news. Go and tell the good news. Go tell it on the mountain.
Christmas Church. My name's Lindsay Hall, and I'm one of the clergy that serves this congregation, and it is a joy to be with you in worship this evening as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to be with you. Let's pray. Oh God of hope, God of peace, joy, and love, we give you thanks for this Christmas evening. To worship, to sing the Christmas carols, to hear the Christmas story, and to be reminded of your amazing love that you have for us. In the celebration of Jesus' birth, may this old and perhaps familiar story speak to us in a new and a fresh way. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our Redeemer and the one who calls us your beautiful, beloved children of God. Speak to me and through me. Amen. So I have a quick question for you. Have you ever watched a Hallmark Channel Christmas movie? Yeah, you know those movies that get started shortly, like the day after Halloween, and by the time Thanksgiving weekend has rolled around, they've been playing for weeks on end. You know these movies. So they're the ones that go like this, right? So there's the high-powered executive climbing the ladder to success. But all of a sudden, there's an emergency back home in their small, quaint little New England town. So they scurry back home, which they haven't been to for years, only to discover their true priorities and the true meaning of Christmas. And once they step foot into that great town, they instantly fall in love with somebody, and they live happily ever after. You know how these go, right? The plot is so predictable, and within 3, maybe 5 minutes tops, you figure it out who's going to fall in love and live happily ever after, and it always has the most perfect ending. These Hallmark movies, oh my gosh, I love them so very much. All right, I'm not the only one that watches these. No, I'm not. They're sappy, romantic comedies that are over the top, that just fill your heart with love and joy, and I'm known for watching way too many, and I've certainly even gotten my husband, Pastor John, to watch one with me this weekend, or this season. Oh, and I think he even liked it, too. It's so much fun. These Hallmark movies, they tell a pretty good story. It warms your heart. It fills you with joy. But if you want a really good story, that it's going to warm your heart and fill you with amazing joy, it's the story that we're talking about tonight. It's the story of Jesus. We hear it every year if we're able to go to Christmas Eve worship. We hear it year after year from the Gospel of Luke. And if you're lucky enough to remember, maybe you can remember your child or your grandchild or maybe even yourself when you were younger. They would put on the nativity play in preschool or elementary years. And somebody lucky got to play Mary or Joseph or the wise men or all those sheep, the barnyard animals with the mooing and the baaing. And somebody got to be dressed as that bright star. And this story for us, it can almost become nostalgic, can it? We hear it over and over every year when we think of it fondly. We have great memories in our hearts, and we have cell phone pictures and way too much film footage of our loved ones in the little play. And it always ends up with this little happy ending. It wraps up with Mary giving birth to baby Jesus, holding her child sweetly and rejoicing as the angels and the shepherds gather on by and the animals hardly even make a peeping sound, and it's always a happy ending, and there's Emmanuel, God, with us. It's so almost picture-perfect, like Hallmark crafted the story. But in so many ways, it's better than just that. There's these tender moments in the story. There's these beautiful moments in the story. But the story is also filled with moments that are raw and moments of very real characters. And there's these taboo moments if you dive just a little bit deeper. And you might even be surprised to know there's this political action happening all the way through. Jesus' story, it's a beautiful one, isn't it? But it's not necessarily picture perfect. So I want us to remember it from the beginning. So the story starts out, and Mary finds out she's pregnant. And this, to begin with, certainly isn't very picture perfect, because Mary is this young teenage girl. She's 13, she's 14, maybe she's 15 years old, but she certainly doesn't have a driver's license. She's not even supposed to be pregnant. She's engaged to Joseph, and she finds out she's going to be with child, and it's not even biologically his. In a time, in a society then, that was taboo. How are they going to explain that to the relatives? What are people going to think? And so when the angel comes and shares this good news with Mary, she's reminded to not be afraid. How can she not be afraid? But Mary asks a question, and she wonders, how can this be? How can this be that I'm going to be with child? And the angel gives a rather short answer, but somehow Mary accepts that. She seems satisfied with the answer, and she agrees to this awesome challenge and amazing privilege that God has before her. She's going to give birth to a son, and he's going to be named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. But the story's just beginning. We got to continue to remember what happens next. So next, this very busy angel, my gosh, this angel has a very busy December. So the next, this angel appears to Joseph, but not in person, in a dream. And Joseph has already learned that Mary is going to be with child, and he has these plans to kind of end things quietly. So, okay, good for you, Joseph. You're just going to kind of like end the engagement quietly and not make it a public ordeal. But he doesn't get a chance to do this because the angel says, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. You're going to have a son, and you're going to name him a Jesus. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Now, if we thought Mary was surprised to receive this news, what on earth was Joseph thinking in that moment? I bet Joseph had not seen that coming, and yet amazingly quickly pivoted his plans from what he thought he was going to do. And even though the child wasn't technically or biologically his own, he was willing to stick around and figure it out with Mary to see what God was up to and to see what beautiful thing was going to come forth next. And now is where the story gets even more interesting. So next comes the census. And with an oppressive government at the head of all things, the Emperor Augustus has this great idea for a census. And so, of course, it's to his own advantage. He's going to figure out everything to his own advantage. He's going to squeeze all that he can from the people and taxes and estimate how many number of soldiers he's going to get to have, because wealth and power and oppression were well on Emperor Augustus's mind. They lived under a very oppressive Roman Empire. And unfortunately, Mary and Joseph couldn't just like walk down the street. They couldn't register locally. No, they were required to go all the way to Bethlehem. So get out your GPS and do Google Maps, and you're going to discover that for them, it was going to be a 70-mile journey. When's the last time you went, like, on a 5-mile walk? A 70-mile journey. Here they go. Maybe they start walking. Maybe they had a donkey. All of our, you know, nativity plays always include a donkey. But Mary is very, very pregnant on this 70-mile journey, way too close to her due date. And when they arrive in Bethlehem, there's no rest for them. They're probably tired. They're worn out. They've done their well past a 5K. They've discovered there's no hotel. There's no inn. There's no Airbnb. And that makes a ton of sense because everybody else is traveling into town for the census. And all the housing has been taken, and they have nowhere to go. But then when we turn the nativity plays, our little kids act it out for us. We discover that they find a space in a makeshift room and a little stable in the back, and maybe there's some hay, and of course some mooing and baaing animals in the background. An animal or two is roaming. And then the time comes. Her water breaks, the contractions start, and the labor pains grow. And then finally, at last, this newborn babe's cry is heard. He breathes in his first breath of life, and he cries out these great hallelujah praises to God, and we discover Jesus Emmanuel is with us. God is with us. And the story doesn't end there. We think it might, but it doesn't, right? Because then what happens next is incredibly peculiar. The angels go and share this good news. Who doesn't want to share good news of a baby being born? But the angels go and share this news with the shepherds. They don't share the news with like Mary and Joseph's close friends and family or even acquaintances. I mean, that would make too much sense. So they go and they share this great news with some folks whose profession is to take care of sheep. They don't even go to share this news with like doctors that could be of some sort of help. They go and they seek out the shepherds. The shepherds. We know the shepherds. Can I remind you of who the shepherds were? The shepherds weren't liked in society. They weren't respected in society. They had such low social status. They traveled from place to place. Yeah, they took care of these really cute sheep. But they were migrant workers. They were the undocumented workers of Jesus' day. And yet they were the first ones to receive this good news of Jesus' birth. They got to hear first and foremost of the great glad tidings of great joy. They got to hear that the King and the Anointed One, the long-awaited Messiah in Christ, was born. God chose the shepherds. Can I get an amen? And so the shepherds went quickly. They went and found this newborn babe. It was sure enough wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger. And of course, those angels are rejoicing, and all of the earth celebrates. this story is so much better than anything Hallmark can possibly produce. It's the story of Emmanuel. It's the story of God being with us. It's the good news that God loves us so much that God comes to meet us in the form of a sweet, little, helpless baby boy taking on the form of a child. God loves us abundantly. God calls you God's beloved. God knows you by name. And this story of Jesus is a story that we can remember that he's our hope in hard times. We light these candles of peace, hope, joy, and love, and sure enough, it's a story of Jesus being our hope in hard times. And those moments when we don't know what to do, we don't know if we can put one foot in front of the other, Jesus is our hope in those hard times. But it's a story of Jesus being our peace among the chaos. Oh man, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of chaos in the world around us, or maybe in your own personal life at times you feel it, but Jesus is that Prince of Peace, that breath of fresh air, that peace in our lives. But it's also this story of that he's our joy deep within our bones. Not that happiness that can like fade and wither, not that happiness that depends upon our circumstances, but our true joy in both the good and the bad and ugly hard times of life. But through this story, we also see that Jesus is our love. He's love all around us, and always and no matter what, no matter what we do or fail to do, or the however many times we screw up, we discover once again through this story how to more fully love God and love neighbor and maybe even love ourselves a little bit more. Jesus is those very candles that we symbolize and we light that hope and that peace and that joy and that love. And so we sing about it and we read about it on Christmas Eve and we're ready to close the book and think, man, that's Christmas Eve and that is good. But the amazing thing is the story keeps going from there. Because there's four other books in the Bible, the rest of the scriptures that go on. There's four books in the Bible we call the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And in those books of the Bible, it continues to tell the story where we stop reading tonight. It picks up and it continues telling about the life and the ministry of Jesus. It tells the story of Jesus growing up and becoming a preteen, and he's about 12 years old, and he gets a little sassy with his parents while he's in the temple in Jerusalem, and man, I love that story. It's so age-appropriate and on par. But then we hear these stories of Jesus in his early 30s, and we discover he's beginning his ministry of teaching and healing and preaching and caring for those that get labeled as the sinner or the outcast, and he welcomes the poor and the marginalized, and he loves the child, and he embraces everybody with arms wide open, calling them God's beloved. Y'all are God's beloved. It's this good news story that tells an amazing, amazing story that's so real and relevant to our lives today. And I hope you're going to keep reading. We stopped at Luke chapter 2, but I hope you're going to keep reading and read to the end of the Gospel of Luke and see what else happens. And if you've read Luke recently, then turn to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Light, the Gospel of Love. And read through that, you're going to discover dozens and several dozens of stories about Jesus. You're going to find some that are so easy to embrace. You're like, yep, I got that. And you're going to find some that you're going to wrestle with, you're going to struggle with, and you're going to think, I don't know, what is this all about in following this Jesus guy? That's stuff, hard stuff to do. But I hope you'll keep reading. I hope you'll set aside some moments to dig in and see what all this Lord and Savior is truly about. The one that loves us always and calls us to love the world boldly and passionately with no bounds. I don't know what your worship plans, after your worship plans tonight, I don't know what you're going to be doing. I don't know if you're going to gather with family and friends or tomorrow morning. I don't know what's on your plate. Perhaps there's going to be some special meals or some gifts to open. But whatever happens after you leave the sanctuary doors or you turn off from online, I hope you leave this place with a gift in your heart. So put your hands out. I want you to know that you're receiving an amazing gift tonight. It's always been there, but a little reminder that it's there. It's the gift of God's amazing love for you. God loves you. God calls you beloved. And God wants to continue to know you more and more. And also inside that gift that you're holding, Jesus is giving you the gift of peace and hope and joy and love. And then God wants you to go share that with the world. Don't cling to it, because it's a gift that can keep multiplying and replicating and sharing with all the world. Go and be that light. Jesus is Emmanuel, and God is with us. Merry Christmas, church. Amen.
We've come to a time in the service where we are invited to come forward and receive in this element of grace. We have an opportunity to gather around this table just like Jesus gathered around a table with his disciples thousands of years ago. I want to let you know that you don't have to be a member of this or any other church to come forward and receive these elements of grace. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what's called an open communion table, which means everybody is welcome to receive these elements. I invite you to join with me in the liturgy. The words will be on the screen as we share in this special time together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
To the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You created light out of darkness, and you brought forth life on earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. In the fullness of time, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And at his birth, the angels sang, "Glory to you in the highest, and peace to your people on earth." And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem, and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable Jesus was born, so by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. As your word became flesh, born of a woman, on that night long ago, so, in the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit in us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all of the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. In a moment, you'll be invited to come forward to receive the communion elements. And please know that in the United Methodist Church, we practice something called an open table. All are welcome to receive this means of grace. You can have been a lifelong churchgoer, United Methodist your whole life, or you could be walking into the doors of a church for the very first time. All are welcome to come and receive. Whether you're a little itty-bitty baby learning to mush food or you're well into your 90s, all are welcome to receive this gift of love and grace. The ushers will invite you to come forward to receive communion by coming forward on these side angled aisles. There you're going to receive a small piece of bread and a little cup. Go ahead and eat the bread and drink the juice. Then as you're making your way back to your seat through the center aisle, there's two baskets where you're going to be able to place your used cups there. In the center, there's going to be gluten-free bread. Otherwise, on the side aisles, it is regular bread and all of it is juice. As the ushers are inviting you to come forward, just to help us flow through things a little bit simpler, they're going to notice that there's two serving stations on here, so look for one that's open, as well as two serving stations there. Won't you come now forward as directed by the ushers?
Amen. Well, one of the great joys of having a sanctuary full is, every once in a while you run into moments. And if you read in the Gospels the stories that Pastor Lindsay encouraged us to read tonight, one of the stories in the Gospels is about the feeding of the 5,000. And such a story begins with the multiplication of loaves of bread and fish. And that's what we did tonight. So I do want to let you know there are a couple of folks who maybe came through and we shared that we had run out of elements on this side. If you would like communion, please come find us after the service. We'd be honored to make sure that you receive the elements of grace. Just let us know and we'll be happy to find you. And finally, I do just want to say my name is Reverend John Reynolds and I do watch Hallmark Christmas movies with my wife. She's won me over, and the truth is, I cry at almost the end of every single one of them. Lindsay didn't put me out there for that, I put myself out there. So I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Holy and living God, on this night, when the world grows quiet and the sky leans close to earth, we come before you with grateful hearts. We give thanks for the mystery of this night, that you chose not power, but presence, not distance, but closeness, not a throne, but a manger. In the birth of Jesus, you stepped into our fragile world and declared once and for all that you are with us. God of light, we confess that we arrive here carrying many things. Some come filled with joy and anticipation, surrounded by love and laughter. Others come weary, grieving or uncertain, missing those who should be here, or carrying burdens that feel too heavy for this holy night. Hold us all, O God. Meet us exactly where we are. For those who are lonely tonight, be their companion. For those who are grieving, be their comfort. For those who are anxious about tomorrow, be their peace. For those who are overwhelmed, be their rest. As we remember the birth of the Christ, help us to hear again the good news spoken to the shepherds so long ago, that your love is for all people, for the forgotten and the faithful, for the hopeful and the hesitant, for those on the edges and those at the center. God of hope, we pray for a world still longing for your peace, for places torn by violence and injustice, for families divided, for communities struggling to find their way. May the light of Christ break through the darkness. And as we leave this place tonight, we carry your light with us. May we reflect your love in our words, your compassion in our actions, and your grace in the way that we live. We thank you, O God, for the gift of this night, for the gift of Jesus, for the promise that love has come and will never let us go. We pray all this in the name of the one who is born for us, the light of the world. Amen. This time in the service, we have an opportunity to respond to all that God has done in our midst. And one of the ways that we do that is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And so the ushers will make their way forward to help us receive these elements of grace. I want to share with you that this church is a very missional church. We're engaged in mission all around the world. And one of my great joys this year is our church worked together to raise over the course of this last year enough money to buy a drill truck for our brothers and sisters in Liberia. And that truck will be used to drill holes in the ground to allow them to have access to clean and safe drinking water. most of us take for granted a lot of the luxuries that we have in the United States. One of them is clean and safe drinking water, and the gift of this drill truck that we have raised money for over the course of this last year, we pray will be a blessing to those far overseas for whom clean water is good news. Will you please join us in giving so that others' lives can be made better? Amen.
This Advent season, we have been lighting the candles of peace, hope, joy, and love, and tonight we light the Christ candle, and we get to light our own candles from the Christ candle, encouraging us to go share our light with the world. So you'll be receiving the light, and you can pass it down the row there as we sing Silent Night.
Thank you.
We take our lights out into the world to shine brightly for all to see. May the love of God, may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit help you to go forth to love God and neighbor always. Merry Christmas, Church. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.